Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us." So the disciples have found this man casting out demons using Jesus' name, but they do not know who he is. He does not follow with them. They aren't sure what to do. And so they have hindered him, the Greek text says, from doing this any longer, because he is not with them. But to this, Jesus says to them, "Don't stop him. No one can do a mighty work using my name and then soon afterwards go and speak evil against me. The one who is not against us is for us." Remember that word. This man casting out demons obviously knows the power of Jesus' name, the power of prayer offered by a righteous man to the one who hears and answers prayer. He is for Jesus. Well, does this mean then that those today who put on shows and who are healing in the name of Jesus, that they are for Jesus? I suppose they are. They know the power of Jesus' name. They do not claim another name for their mighty deeds. But this passage of Scripture, these words of Jesus, "The one who is not against us is for us," cannot be taken apart from the rest of the Scriptures. They cannot be taken alone. They certainly can't be taken to mean that those who scandalize and defraud people in Jesus' name, or who teach false doctrines in Jesus' name, are on solid footing, or that they have Jesus' stamp of approval. For you know that there are many who use Jesus' name with absolutely no faith in him at all. Another passage from the New Testament will help us better understand this one. It sounds quite similar to this one, but it adds a great deal of clarity. From St. Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter. There, after casting out a demon, Jesus has been accused of being from the devil, of casting out demons in the name of the demon. Jesus turns and tells his disciples, "He," or "the one who is not with me, is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." This text makes it sound like those who are not with Jesus, like his disciples are with him, are against him. If they aren't gathering together as he is doing around his word with his spirit, then they are actually scattering. That's correct. That's an appropriate interpretation of the text. Just as correct as the text that you have already heard is. "The one who is not against us is for us." The two texts sound similar, but they are very different. They approach it from a very different place. The one for a believer who trusts in Jesus' name and the power. The other against those Pharisees who have rejected the Christ. They're complementary. They do not confound each other. They actually explain each other. Each one presents a different part of the picture. The man found casting out demons in Jesus' name is a believer. He is for Jesus, even though he is not yet with Jesus. Did you get that? He is for Jesus. He is not against him. He claims his name, he believes in his power, but he is not yet with the disciples, not yet with Jesus in their travels. It doesn't mean that because he is a believer, he has the right to start his own church, to use Jesus' name and then divide or separate himself from others, from Jesus, from the rest of Jesus' teachings. He cannot go his own way. He is not with Jesus yet, but he won't be apart from him for long. That's what Jesus means when he says, if they are not against us, they are for us. If he speaks and does a mighty work in my name, he will not soon turn and do evil. These passages cannot be used against each other, the one from Mark and the one from Matthew. Together they present the whole picture for Christ's church. Those who wish to use Jesus' name cannot remain apart from him and his teaching and his church. It's not enough to just be for Jesus. If you are for Jesus, it means you will also go and be with Jesus, where he has promised to be. And yet every week, right here in our midst, we watch as many of our members who we would say are for Jesus can't be found and aren't troubled about being with Jesus. Finally, this text hits right to the heart of the matter. No one can be indifferent or neutral when it comes to the person, work, and teaching of Jesus Christ. If you are for Jesus, you will be with him in his word as he has taught. If you invoke or call upon Jesus' name in faith, then you must also gather with him. That is, though you are for Jesus, you can't continue to be apart from him. Jesus commands his disciples to allow the man to work because even though the man is not with Jesus yet, the fact that he is using Jesus' name powerfully means that he will be soon. It's exactly like the Old Testament lesson. The people were not happy with what God had given them, the boring old manna from heaven. Who wants this rotten stuff all day, every day? They wanted the cucumbers and the leeks and the fish that was all free from the land that they had left, that they were being rescued from, and now they're out in the desert and they're dying. They wanted meat. And Moses was mad at them because how can he feed them all? They're mad at him. They're crying out to him, "You brought us out here to die." And Moses is crying out to God, "Why have you done this to your servant? Why have you led me to this place?" And what's the text say? The anger of the Lord blazed hotly. You're not happy with what I have given you. You always want more. More. Different. Better. Like the world, we want to be respected. We want what the world has. Give it to us, Jesus. They weren't against God. They were for him, but they certainly weren't with him. And so the people of Israel are called to gather together, the leaders of Israel, with Moses in the tent, and the Holy Spirit that the Lord has given to Moses, who speaks through Aaron, is now poured out on the 70 men who are in the tent. But it's also poured out on Eldad and Medad, the two who are not in the tent. And in the midst of the people, they are for Jesus, they are for the gospel, they are for the forgiveness of sins. And yet they are prophesying and they are terrifying the people. Aaron wants Moses to stop them. "Don't let them speak," Moses says. "Are you upset on my account? I wish that all the people of God had his spirit." They did not speak for long apart from the tent of meeting. They were for Jesus and soon they were with the Lord where he revealed himself in his word. This is how God's Spirit works upon his people. We do not call on the name of Jesus and then set aside his teaching. That would be to reject his Spirit. All sins are forgiven a man except for the sin against the Holy Spirit. You cannot invoke the name of God, of Jesus, for good and then turn and curse him. Jesus doesn't give anyone permission to go his own way. You can't use Jesus' name apart from Jesus' word, apart from the whole counsel of God. You can't use Jesus' name and then fail to seek him out in his spoken and visible word where he has promised to be. Some will say, I believe in Jesus. But when you ask them, which church do you attend? Or what do you believe about Jesus? They will often answer, I don't attend church. Or, I don't believe in all that doctrine stuff, just Jesus. Someone like this, who claims to be and certainly is for Jesus, whoever that Jesus may be to him, is not with Jesus and is not concerned about being with Jesus. He doesn't seek to be with Jesus. He actually avoids it. I'm not about all that doctrine stuff, just Jesus. But then he rejects Jesus' words, the ones that don't suit him. He does not gather together with Jesus. He does not gather together with those who believe in and confess Jesus as he has revealed himself in his word. And so it turns out that the man like this actually scatters and divides. And he is against Jesus. He does not believe and teach them all things as Jesus has taught. No one can be indifferent or neutral when it comes to the person and work and teaching of Jesus Christ. Take Jesus as he presents himself. Be satisfied as he gives himself in the manna. Take his words and his teaching and his name, or else leave him. Jesus is not divided. Our Lutheran confessions make it clear from Scripture that it is not enough to believe and speak the truth. That sounds pretty strange, doesn't it? Isn't that what we're about, the truth? But it's not enough to just speak the truth. Throughout our confessions, the formula goes like this. We believe, teach, and confess this. And that means that we necessarily reject and condemn that. You can't cling to Jesus' word and his doctrine in the Christian creeds without rejecting the heresies that the creeds reject. Take Jesus as he is, or don't take him at all. He is not divided. There is no riding the fence, no indifference, no neutrality, for or against, with or apart from. You cannot be lukewarm. There are many groups that speak of Jesus and even claim to speak in his name. They are for him. But then many also turn and deny his teachings, like infant baptism and his real presence in Holy Communion and at worship. Though they are for him and they do not speak against him, and though they claim no other name at all, they do not know entirely what that means. They do not seek to know him as he presents himself. They are not with him. They do not gather together with Jesus and with those who believe his words. And so the end result is that they scatter and they divide using Jesus' name. They are in danger of being spewed out of his mouth by his hotly burning anger. The Advent hymn that we will sing in just a few short months, hard to believe that's almost here. O come, Emmanuel, says in the last stanza, O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. The visible church of Jesus on earth is sadly divided. There are many who use Jesus' name, who are for Jesus, who have his doctrine wrong and don't work to correct their teaching. There are also many who use Jesus' name, who are for Jesus, who have the doctrine right, but who are more concerned about their own authority and comfort than about working for unity and gathering around his name and his word as he desires. Both are equally wrong. Both must be addressed. And yet this hymn reminds us that there is only one King, only one truth, only one who will bind the hearts of all mankind to himself. It is not in our gathering together into denominations, cliques, and synods that unites Jesus' church on earth. There is only one loaf, only one cup, only one body, only one Christ. There is only one church of Jesus, and he must be the one to gather and unite through his Holy Spirit, the Spirit for whom we have prayed in the hymns and prayers already again today. There is only one who gathers and unites through his Spirit in his infallible and unbroken word. The LCMS, this group that we are a part of, does not exist for its own sake or so that we may draw all people into us. We exist because of God's word. We exist because the Holy Spirit has gathered us together around Jesus' name and under Jesus' given body and his shed blood and in his word of washing, forgiveness, and life. We do not exist to reform the world or to fix the economy or to save the environment, but to rightly confess and then rightly use Jesus' name, his word of law and gospel, to call all people to repentance and faith in Jesus, and then to announce his forgiveness of sins and his kingdom and his certain return. No one who is for Jesus can then stand against what he has said and taught. Neither can those who are for Jesus be separated long from others who are for and with him. Still, we know ourselves, don't we? Well, we know that our flesh is filled with sin, and that we often are not for or with Jesus at all, but that we stand in the place of unbelievers on the other side, completely against him, directly against our God and against our neighbors, too, that frequently we are the problem. We want to be for and with him as long as it's what's comfortable for us. But when it's not, it ends up that we turn against him. We grumble against what he has given. We reject the food that he offers, and we blame everyone else. If our salvation was up to us, up to how well we were at being faithful, at being for and with Jesus, then we would be condemned. But thanks be to God that our salvation does not depend upon our faithfulness in being for and with Jesus, something we can never do perfectly. Thanks be to God that instead our salvation depends only and entirely on Jesus' faithfulness in being for and with us. We don't have to find some way to ascend into heaven and find our triune God. We can't make ourselves ready to receive his gifts or holy to stand before his throne. Instead, he comes to take us and to save us. He comes and prepares us for his gifts. He comes into our presence and makes us holy. Through his Spirit, he draws us to where he is present and active in his living word and sacraments. He places his name on our hearts, on our foreheads. He places his name on our lips, and he invites us to be where his name is invoked and where Jesus' death and resurrection is proclaimed for the forgiveness of our sins. It's no accident that you are here today. The triune God is the one who has drawn you here to himself, to his word that is spoken and preached in this place. Even though the Lord of heaven and earth is actually here in this place, you do not have to be afraid. for he is not here in his hotly burning anger. He is not here to condemn you. He is here in his mercy and love. He is here to forgive you, to reveal to you the mysteries of his kingdom. Since he is for you, who can be against you? Since he has spoken his word of absolution in your ears, who can speak against him? Since he has united himself to your flesh, who can separate you from his love? Heaven today is open for you because you have passed through the word and water of the font, and Jesus has united himself with you there. Heaven is open for you today because he gives you a foretaste of the heavenly feast, his own body and blood given with the bread and wine for you and for your salvation. Your God has done absolutely everything necessary to save you. Nothing then in this life, not your doubt or your worry, not your indifference or your fear of speaking, not your sinning hands, your wandering feet, your haughty eyes, or your wavering hearts, nothing, nothing at all can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord. He is here for you. And he has promised to be with you to the very end of the age. Shine in our hearts, O Spirit, precious light. Teach us, Jesus Christ, to know aright, that we may abide in the Lord who bought us, till to our true home he has brought us. Lord, have mercy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.